Today's a celebration day. We are celebrating the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. And there are all kinds of festivities that happen around the world, including the blessing of animals, which will happen this afternoon. And we'll have more announcements about that later, but we encourage you to participate in that if you have an animal that you speak to regularly. So a little bit about St. Francis, since it's St. Francis that is the focus of what we're thinking about here today. He was born in 1181 or 1182, they're not quite sure, so almost 800 years ago. He died in 1226 on October 3rd, which is the reason that we celebrate his feast today on October 4th. He was the son of a wealthy silk merchant, and he was a bit of a playboy in his younger days because he enjoyed being the son of a wealthy silk merchant. Until one day, he had this conversion experience when he felt that God was speaking to him and telling them he should go and fix his church. So Francis thought that God meant physically the building that he was in at that time, so he went about fixing and repairing that building. And then he went on and did that with other buildings because he thought God was calling him to fix churches. And one day he took a little too much money from his father's coffers for the fixing of a church, and his father told him he couldn't do that anymore. And Francis had this sort of revelations of, I'm going to reject wealth because wealth has now rejected me. And Francis took on this vow of poverty. And he lived literally in rags. He turned away from all of that life that he had enjoyed, the wealth and the playboy lifestyle that he was living as best you can in 1180-something, whatever that looks like. He rejected wealth and he embraced a life of poverty. And he went and spoke and preached and discovered somehow that he was actually to build the church, the corporate church, the body of the church, rather than the physical structure of the church. And he preached. He wasn't licensed to preach, so he just preached wherever he could find people or others who would listen, including animals. He would go into the woods and preach. And people began to follow him. And 10 years after he had taken this vow of poverty upon himself, he had 5,000 people, 5,000 men for the most part at that point, also living in rags and taking this vow of poverty and becoming itinerant preachers at the end of the Dark Ages, moving into the beginning of this Renaissance that was about to come. It's also the time of the Crusades, a very interesting time to be an itinerant preacher. So these followers, these men that were following him, he called the Friars Minor, the little brothers, the lesser brothers, because they were just sort of peasants at this point. They were people who had taken a vow of poverty and were following him or following in his lifestyle. And then he met someone named Claire, and she became Saint Claire, who founded the Women's Order of Sisters of Saint Francis, you might say. So now we had both men and women who had taken upon themselves this vow of poverty and were going about the end of the Dark Ages, teaching and proclaiming the gospel. And there was a third order, in addition to the little brothers and the sisters of St. Clare. The third order was the Brothers and Sisters of Penitence, and these were the folks who were attracted to what St. Francis was about, but weren't able to give up, take this vow of poverty and vow of chastity that was a part of those two orders. So this third order also became a part of Francis's tradition. And perhaps it's this order that most of us will fall into if we consider what Francis has to teach us today. Francis thought he had three companions. One companion was obedience, one companion was poverty, and one companion was chastity. The vow of St. Francis was to follow the teaching and footprints of the Lord Jesus Christ by living obedience, poverty, and chastity. Well, he is the patron saint of animals and environment. And there are some reasons for that. He could speak with animals. And many of you who have pets will think that you can also speak with animals and that they will speak with you. But that was a part of his understanding of all of creation as being like children of God, brothers and sisters. One of his famous canticles, famous songs that he wrote, was Brother, Sun, Sister, Moon, this song of creation. He saw himself as a brother, sister with all of God's creation. Hence, he is our patron saint, a saint of the environment. There are some great stories about his, or legends that were written about him in this occupation of speaking with animals. He was going into the woods to preach one day, and the birds were chirping around him, this cacophony of sound. So he said to the birds, please be quiet so that I may preach. And the birds were silent and sat and listened as he preached until he finished, and then they went back to their singing. That's one of the reasons many of the statues of St. Francis you'll see have a bird on his shoulder or on his hand or someplace, because of that relationship that he had with the birds. Then there's another fascinating story about Francis that involves a village where he was living. There was a wolf outside the village who was literally killing men and animals from that village. Men, people, I suppose it wasn't probably just men that he killed, I don't know, but he was killing these villagers and animals. And everyone was very afraid of this wolf. They were afraid to go into the woods, so of course St. Francis went into the woods and came upon the wolf and said, Brother Wolf, stop it. Made the sign of the cross, and the wolf came and laid down at his feet. And then Francis said, Brother Wolf, come with me. And they went into the middle of the village with this wolf. And he said, the wolf is doing evil because the wolf is hungry. So he worked out this bargain with the villagers, that the villagers would provide food for the wolf, and the wolf would stop eating the villagers. And then he blessed the wolf in front of the village. Probably one of the reasons we're going to be gathering to bless animals today at 4 o'clock in the park across the street, if you would like to join us. Part of that tradition. Each of the scriptures readings that we had today, Job and Galatians and the Psalm and the Gospel, reflect on the life of St. Francis in some way or another. And some of it's kind of obvious. The text from Job is this beautiful, ask the animals and they will teach you, the birds of the air and they will tell you. That was the kind of relationship that Francis had with nature and the animals and the creatures around him. Ask and they will teach you. Listen and they will tell you. Psalm 148 is about all of nature praising the Lord. And Francis believed that all of nature was not only created by God, but also praised and was a mirror of God, that in nature we would see God reflected in all that was around us, our brothers and our sisters. But an even more interesting text, I think, is the Galatians 1, because it speaks about the marks of Christ that Paul bore on his body, the five wounds of Christ in his hands and feet and in his side. Francis received those stigmata, those wounds of Christ on his body late in his life. And in fact, it's the first, one of his comrades recorded this, so it's the first documented sort of experience of this receiving those wounds of Christ after the story we have of Paul having those wounds upon him. So it's an interesting piece that this text in Galatians speaks about the story of Paul and the wounds of Christ that he bears. St. Francis also bore those wounds of Christ in one of the first documented tellings of that. Francis followed the teaching and the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that through obedience and chastity and living a life of poverty. On March 13th, 2013, Jorge Mario Bergoglio was elected Pope. He is the first Pope in the history of the Roman Catholic Church to take the name Francis. And now we have Pope Francis, who was visiting our country just a week ago. He took the name Francis because of his concern for the well-being of the poor. In fact, when he had that first conversation with people after becoming Pope and taking the name, he said, "Francis brought to Christianity the idea of poverty against the luxury, pride, and vanity of the civil and ecclesiastical powers of his time. He changed history." Pope Francis has taken some of these charisms of Saint Francis upon himself to speak against the abuse of the poor, to speak about immigration, to speak about global climate change, these issues of nature and environment that are becoming very critical for us in our time. Pope Francis follows the teaching and the footsteps of Jesus in some ways by following in the footsteps of Saint Francis, carrying some of those same passions. When he visited the United States, he skipped lunch with Congress to serve lunch in a homeless shelter. He met with prisoners in a prison. He met with migrants who were coming newly to this country. He spoke about the downside of unbridled capitalism and its effects on the poor around the world. He spoke about the issues of immigration. He spoke about global climate change and the effects that it has on the poor around the world, especially the poor in places like Africa. One of his first encyclicals or papal letters that he writes to the church is called Laudate Si, and the subtitle is On Care for Our Common Home. It's about ecology. It's about care for creation. It's about the crisis of global climate change that we are facing. The title is from a song or a hymn written by Saint Francis, and the first two paragraphs of his letter refer to Saint Francis and Francis's way of being in the world and being concerned for creation, for brother sun and sister moon, for he talks about sister mother earth, who we have harmed greatly, and that the kind of relationship that we are to have with our sister Mother Earth. And if you haven't had a chance to read this encyclical, it really is a beautiful theological grounding of how we as Christians are to care for creation and how we need to rise up to address issues of environmental crisis and global climate change. So what do these Francises have to say to us? What is God up to in the life and ministry of Saint Francis and now Pope Francis? Both of us, I think, call us back to the teaching and following the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what guides, I think, both of them in how they have lived their lives as they have sought to walk a new way, to make a road by walking it in their lives as Christians. Maybe we're kind of like that third order of Saint Francis. Most of us have not taken a vow of poverty or chastity. Perhaps we've taken a vow of obedience to the gospel. But most of us live our lives not in poverty, by choice anyway, or lives of chastity. So we may not be called to embrace that, but we may not be called to embrace poverty, but we are not called to pursue wealth at the expense of others. There's something in between, living in right relationship. And in our way of life here at St. Matthew's, I think you call that simplicity, perhaps. Living with what is enough and not constantly seeking what is more than enough. We might not be called to embrace a life of chastity, but we are called to live in right relationship with those who are closest to us and those who are far from us. To live in right relationship with all of God's creatures and all of God's creation. Perhaps that comes under an understanding of reconciliation in the way of life that we walk together at St. Matthew's as we seek to be in right relationship with one another. Or perhaps even generosity as we seek to give for the sake of the other. But it's not easy to do. I was worshiping with you here with my wife Lisa last weekend. Enjoyed the beautiful Celtic harp and things that were happening here. You'll get to hear that again if you weren't here last weekend. It's beautiful, beautiful music. But as I was sitting here where you're sitting, I was thinking about Pope Francis visiting that weekend and the things that he was saying. I'd been kind of following along with that and anticipating what he was going to say later that day. It got me thinking about global poverty and the disparity of wealth between the rich and the poor. It got me thinking about the crisis of migration in this country and around the world as people are fleeing danger and seeking safety in their lives. It got me thinking about the environmental crisis of global climate change and the level of commitment and sacrifice that it will take to counter a century of damage that has been done to our environment, to our common home, as Pope Francis refers to it. These are the things that I was thinking about last week in the midst of being here in worship and Pope Francis's visit to our country. But this week I've been thinking about Oregon and Umpqua Community College. Maybe it's because I lived in Oregon for 20 years and I've had lunch in Roseburg, and these are places that I know. I don't think there were people that I know, but there could have been. For some reason, this school shooting hits a little closer to home for me. But it's the 45th school shooting so far in 2015. And there have been 142 school shootings since Sandy Hook in 2012, and I don't even remember most of them. They sort of fade from my memory and my awareness as the next one happens. It's a difficult time. It's not easy to walk in that way of Jesus in the midst of our current realities. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Well, the burdens of this world don't feel light. And when I think about tackling the burdens of this world myself, I get very overwhelmed very quickly. But Jesus tells us that we are to be yoked with him. I grew up on a cattle ranch in western South Dakota. My grandfather, in his youngest days, nearly a century ago, farmed with a team of horses. So in the barn where I would play and work and where I grew up in the ranch, we had a tack room with harnesses and collars and yokes that had been used in the days before we got tractors and all that good stuff. The yoke is the piece of the equipment that connects one horse to the other so that they can pull together and so that their work is shared, so they don't head off in different directions. Christ invites us to be yoked with Christ so that together, as God is at work in the world, as God is working to solve these things, as God is working in all of these crises for the sake of good and gospel and good news, we can be yoked with Christ, walk together on that new way with Christ. Bless you. So that it's not a burden that we bear alone, because we believe that God is at work in the world, that it's not just upon us to carry these burdens. But we are called to be those people who walk together, yoked with Christ, to join God in what God is doing in this world, for the sake of the poor, for the sake of the immigrant, for the sake of our creation, for our climate and our environment, and for the sake of all that God calls us to be about in this place. We're at a point in human history that we can't just follow in the footsteps of those who went ahead of us, because we're walking into new territory. No one in the history of the world has faced global climate change. No one in the history of the world has faced the kind of migration that is possible in our world because of the transportation and things that are available to us. Nobody in the history of the world has actually faced the disparity between the wealthy and the poorest in our world. We've invented that as a new thing. And yet, we follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we follow in the footsteps of Saint Francis. And perhaps we listen to Pope Francis as he shares how he is seeking to follow in those footsteps as well. But whatever we do, we walk yoked with Christ. We pull as a team, joining God in what God is doing in the world, yoked with one another at St. Matthew's, as we seek to follow God in what God is doing in the world and walking in the way of Jesus, and yoked with any and all who are willing to make a road by walking it with our Lord Jesus Christ. In a few moments, we're going to sing a hymn. A communion hymn today is based on a prayer by St. Francis. But I think even though it was written 800 years ago, it is still a prayer that we need to pray today over and over again. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me now and hear these words of St. Francis. Let us pray. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. Amen.